On RN, this is The List, a weekly exploratory mission into the parallel universe of popular culture. I'm Cassie McCullough, and now I'm joined by two guests who've seen more than their fair share of the ugly side of the internet. They both spend time facing the reality of just how affronting many of the comments posted online can be. Chip Rowley is the editor of the ABC's online opinion and analysis site, The Drum, and he's also a regular visitor to The List. Hi, Chip.
G'day, Cassie.
And from Melbourne, we're joined by Van Badham. She's a columnist for The Guardian and artistic literary associate at the Malthouse Theatre. Hi, Van.
Hey, Cassie. How's it going?
I'm still excited about Ashton Agar, actually, to be perfectly honest, but we might get to that a bit later too.
Come down to earth, Cassie.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I love him.
It was very hard to sleep last night. Now, Van, you wrote a piece last week, and we'll get to that in a moment. It drew a very robust response. But first to you, Chip, and in your role as online editor of The Drum, you must see volumes and volumes of comments. What is wrong with free and fettered debate? I mean, that's fantastic, isn't it?
Well, look, it's one of the whole rationales of The Drum. I mean, we publish maybe about 40 articles a week, opinion pieces, and each of them has at the bottom of the article, as it were, streams and streams of readers giving their views about the article, sometimes arguments with each other, sometimes they go off on tangents. But look, that sort of town hall feeling, that's really what The Drum is all about. So in theory, I would say there's nothing wrong with this. You know, I'm from the United States, and I grew up in a society that had the First Amendment. And that's not just an amendment. That's not just part of the Bill of Rights in a document called the Constitution. It's sort of is infused throughout American society. So I think most Americans would defend freedom of speech, to the hilt, far more, I think, than Australians. But what does become disturbing is the lengths to which some people go. We don't really have too much of a problem on The Drum. They do get carried away sometimes, but not with the really kind of vile stuff you see sometimes on other websites. But still, as the editor of Drum, you've got to be very careful about what you let through. Some of it can get really out of hand.
I guess, and guided very carefully by the ABC's editorial policies.
Oh, of course.
But
yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's right.
How could I forget?
But I find in my experience reading just broadly around the web, sometimes I'll read a piece and I think, oh, that was wonderful. And then I'll scroll down and I'll see these comments. This is the most stupid article I've ever read.
And you go, oh, no, it's...
I start to actually change my opinion about what I have read. And this is where I suppose the whole point about the First Amendment is quite interesting, because what about the right not to have abuse around, not to be abused as a writer?
Right, but is it abusive comments that change your mind, or is it people that simply had a different take on it that then make you question?
It's the extremity of them.
The extremity of them. You go, oh, well, if they're that angry about it, then I really must have misread that, or I must misunderstand.
That's right.
Or I must be wrong. Well, that's kind of interesting, because I think that the more vituperative a comment is, the more I'm likely to put that commenter and that comment, take it with a huge grain of salt.
You're a moron. I'm not listening to you.
Yeah. I mean, if somebody, goes for the easy shot, then you kind of know they might be a troll, they might have an agenda. And bear in mind that 99% of the comments on The Drum and on most websites are done anonymously or are done under pseudonyms, or nicknames, avatars, whatever you want to call them. So people are really liberated in what they can say.
Van Badham, do you think what we're seeing online is the same kind of thought patterns and behaviour that's always been around? Or do you think the anonymity of the online environment is creating something new?
I think the anonymity is creating something new, because I think you, with the cloak of anonymity, you do have the freedom to affect a persona which is not reflective of what your social reality is about. And I think that, with a talkback radio caller, you can hear their voice, you can hear the backgrounds of their house, you can pretty much nail them in terms of their social experience and where they're coming from. But online, perhaps the same people, perhaps different people from different demographics can create an online persona for themselves, which is, like some kind of massive Freudian explosion of barely suppressed rage. And it's certainly my experience. If I believed that the people who comment on my articles were actually like that in real life, I would never leave the house. Just not leave the house. Because the level of anger that goes on particularly, and this is an experience shared by all feminists on the internet, it's extraordinary. It's absolutely extraordinary.
Well, tell us about this article that you wrote this week, which engendered quite a response.
Well, it's really interesting because, you know, I'm a regular columnist for The Guardian Australia. I've written about the coup in Parliament House. I've written about Parliament history. I've written about refugee policy. And this was my week to write something about popular culture, which, you know, obviously I very much enjoy doing. And there were a couple of comments that had been made by Miranda Kerr, who's a very successful model, who's married to Orlando Bloom, about how she runs her marriage and how she doesn't want to be an alpha female and you have to let men make decisions. And it was this kind of traditional, you know, rhetoric about women's places and how to have a happy marriage to be a passive helpmeet, kind of, which is obviously rubbish. Miranda Kerr has a massively successful career in a very competitive industry. And I'm one of many women who get very frustrated with hearing about, you know, what the kind of relationships that we're expected to be in and what's traditional. And
so how is it received?
Oh, my God. You would think that an article about refugee policy would really bring them out of the woodwork. But an article on traditional marriage, 400 comments. And 400 comments including such things as, oh, well, nobody would make the writer dinner, would they? She probably makes all of her boyfriends fill in a spreadsheet of 50-50 duties and, oh, let me tell you what's going wrong in your relationship, love, and implications about how I looked, my body, you know, what I... Like, it was amazing.
Well, look, and but the personal stuff aside, isn't that really what you're doing? Isn't that your job to go out and you know, stir it up?
Yeah, look, and that's obviously why I was asked to write for The Guardian. I'm a pretty tough customer. Like, I might be this tiny, like, little female person with ponytails and a high voice, but, you know, I'm from Wollongong. I'm tough. And that is my job, is to provoke comment. But it is always a really interesting, and speaking about, you know, the First Amendment and the whole principle of a fourth estate and a vibrant and robust democracy is the idea that you will put an argument out there that will be part of a rational critical discourse that will lead everybody through a thesis, antithesis, synthesis process and enable us to move on into the next democratic moment. And the interesting thing about commentary online is realising just how impoverished the notion of discourse is. Because while, you know, like, I'm writing an article about pop culture, I'm talking about language and semantics. For me, that's the subject matter, is language and semantics. But for the people who are writing back, the subject is me.
One of the interesting things, Van, I think about this is that, that, you know, some of what you were saying made me think is that it's sort of interesting, and I think, and it could be positive. I don't want to be a Pollyanna about this, but it could be a positive thing that we're finding out what people think in a way that we didn't before, in our normal social interactions with each other. We didn't know what was lurking beneath. And this sort of cloaked in anonymity online conversation is allowing us to know what people really think. And so we're really sort of uncovering a lot of that undergrowth that was there all along. And maybe it makes it easier for us to address it, at least to face up to it, to acknowledge that it's there. I think over the past couple of years, you've mentioned it in particular when you write about pop culture and women's traditional roles, you know, you're finding out what people really do think about that. And I think that what we've been through over the past couple of years with those kinds of conversations and those kinds of comments, we've seen a side of Australia that I think a lot of us didn't really know was there.
Let me tell you, as a feminist on the internet, I think the gender war is just getting started.
You're getting used to it, are you?
Well, but this is the thing, and this is a really important consideration because, you know, the perspective is, look, isn't it great that this is all out there? And isn't it great that we know that, you know, we might have won the public war, but we haven't won the private war? And, you know, how deeply do these resentments against women go? The thing is that the internet has enabled a particular kind of articulation of women hating to get a lot of strength. And a lot of women don't participate in internet commentary or publish articles or have online Twitter presences, yeah, because they can't handle the level of abuse that they receive.
But the gender debate aside, it's also an issue for, well, for example, small business. There was a brilliant article in Crikey yesterday about the way that restaurant reviews are very unmoderated and they're aggregated by a number of different sites, and restaurants can be the subject of vexatious, well, reviewing. There is going to have to be some way of sorting the chaff from the wheat here. Chip?
Look, I think the consumers or the readers of these comments are getting smarter as we go. We're learning to take certain comments with a grain of salt. This is all one great big experiment. And I do think at the end of the day that the kind of conversation we have on these comments are going to more reflect our regular social interactions over time. I think what's happening right now is we've got this new toy car, and we're taking it around the block and seeing how fast it'll go. And a lot of people are getting burned in the process. And I think all of that is going to give us a learning process.
Well, I just wish this process of enlightenment would hurry up, because I'm sick of it. I don't want to see it anymore.